do that. Your person out. Allow ourselves to get all the information in before we draw our conclusions. That we just need to be willing to take that time. And it's maybe not easy, but we need to learn how to do that. To just calm down and deal with things as they come and not overreact due to our emotions. But then as well, we need to avoid interrupting. That in a lot of ways, kind of what we need to learn to do in a conversation is where we give each other a turn, right? And we allow a person to say what they want to say, and we give them time to make sure that they're able to express it, get it all out. And then as we've given them that time, then they're more than willing to give us the time we might need to share what we want to do, right? And but if we're interrupting, if we're talking over each other, that's not going to help the communication. That basically, it's a sign that you've stopped listening. It says in Proverbs 17:28, even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. And so, it's a thing. If we're listening, we're not just jumping up to say something. It shows that. We're acting like a wise person, even if we might not be. And so we want to avoid interrupting so that we can hear what the person has to say. And so it's just the thing. And listening and hearing, that's we think in terms of our relationship with our family. But we think it well in terms of our relationship with God, that he says, take heed how we hear. That sometimes we hear it, but then we let it go away, or we let other things take it away. And he has important truths he wants to give to us, and so we need to hear it and take it in and realize, okay, what do I need to do with what God has told me? And so it's important that we learn to listen. But as well as we listen, we also need to learn different keys to speaking, and the Bible has a lot to say about that. So first off, we understand that we are to be slow to speak. That we're not in a rush to say our piece, blow off steam, to read someone the riot act, that we think things through. It says in Proverbs 29:20, seest thou a man hasty in his words, there's more hope of a fool than of him. That we're in a rush to say what we usually get ourselves in trouble. So we want to be careful. And so that brings us to second thought of choosing our words carefully. That once we say them, we can't get them back. And we want to think, okay, is this the right way to say this? Because sometimes it's the thing is we can say the same thing in two different ways. And one, the person will say, okay, that makes sense, I accept that. And the other way, the person will just react. And not want to hear anything more of what you have to say. So we've got to think things carefully. It says in Proverbs 12, verse 18, there is it speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. And so that's the thing. Sometimes how we say things can be very hurtful. And so we want to be very careful. We want what we say to be encouraging and build that person up, not tear them down. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, they love it, shall eat the fruit thereof. That's the thing, is that we can be in great encouragement or we can be a great discouragement to people. Proverbs 21, verse 23, it says, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. And so that's the thing, that we need to guard what we say. We need to think it over to keep ourselves out of a lot of trouble. Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 2 says, be not rash with thy mouth, let not thine heart be hasty at anything before God, for God is in heaven and thou upon earth, therefore let thy words be few. That we need to think about what we're saying. And this is the thought with it, we want to choose quality over quantity in what we are saying. That too often we just talk and talk and talk, and so much of what we say is really meaningless. But when we learn to make our words count, we do so much better. It says in Proverbs 10:19, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. And so that's the thing, is that we need to learn to use less words to try to get our point across, make sure that we do what we want to say. It says in Proverbs 17:27, he that hath knowledge spareth his words, a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. That we use a few words when they are sufficient to get our point across. And so we want to consider that. But as well, we want to always speak with honesty. That we want to share the truth. We want to make sure that even if it is a challenging, it might be hard to hear, the truth is a whole lot easier to deal with than the lies when they come uncovered. And so it says in Ephesians 4:25, wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. That it's kind of the thing that we think of it sometimes. And this is, I guess, a lie we'd often could say. It's like we're having a rough day, maybe, and someone says, how you doing? And you just say, oh, I'm fine. And because we don't want to open up to that person, but maybe we need to. Maybe we need to be vulnerable for a bit and just let them know how we're dealing with, because it can be the thing that, oh, they said they're fine, so I guess they're fine, and we could actually use some comfort, use some help. And if we don't open up, if we're not honest, how can we help each other? And that's the thing. It says, remembers one another. Of course, it's speaking in terms of being part of a church family, but we think in terms of a family that it's like that we need to function well together, function being a team. And if we're not able to have that vulnerability and honesty with each other, then it makes us very hard to be able to trust and to be able to function as a team together. But as well, we want to understand we need to always speak with gentleness. And it talks about that in Ephesians chapter 4 earlier. It says that we're to speak the truth, but we're to speak the truth in love. That we don't need to be harsh and critical in our tone. It talks about in Proverbs 15 verse 1 that a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger, right? And we think so much strife and contention comes because someone snaps at someone else over something that they did, and then the fight begins when it could have just been okay if a person just would have replied with a little more gentleness, then that wouldn't have happened like that at all. And it says, Proverbs 16 and verse 24, heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and hath learning to his lips. Oh, here it says, pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. That's the thing, is that when we're kind and that we show some grace and compassion when we're speaking with people, that it that's what's going to really help them. We too often with our words, because we say them harshly, we end up making enemies. When we could have had a lot more togetherness. And so we need to learn not to react, but instead to exhibit gentleness. But then as well, we want to always speak to edify. And as we looked at, to edify means to build up. That we can easily tear people down, even by the tone of our voice, that we can tell someone, but we can be so sarcastic or demeaning in our words that we make the person feel like they're really dumb and worthless, and that's not right. It says in Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And that's the thing, is that corrupt communication, which is like filthy talking, jesting, things that tear someone down, that we say let none of that proceed out of our mouth. That it just needs to stop. We might start thinking it, but we need to bring that thought into captivity and not let it out. Instead, we got to see, is this going to build this person up? Is this going to encourage them? I need to say that. It's the idea of may minister grace unto the hearers. That grace is the idea of unmerited favor, right? That where someone is kind to us when we don't deserve it. And that's how we need to think of that. That God is kind to us so often when we don't deserve it. We need to show that same grace to others that God shows us. And we need grace. We need someone to be kind and give us a second chance and other things. And so we want to have that focus. It's like everything I say should be building someone up, not tearing them down. And so as well, we think there's two other forms of communication, writing and reading. And we want to think of it. Writing, like speaking, can be used well to communicate. And you think of it, that sometimes leaving a note for someone, or sometimes writing, I know for my wife and I, as we got to get to know each other, it was a long distance, and so we emailed each other back and forth, and were able to ask each other questions, write fairly lengthy letters to one another, and that really helped build communication with us from the beginning, which we're thankful for. And that's the thing, is that writing a lot of times, sometimes you're trying to say it, and maybe your emotions are too strong, or you're nervous, and it just doesn't come out right. Sometimes, because we're nervous, we end up tripping over our words. But sometimes when we take the time in a calmer situation to write something down, and then we give that to the person, it can be very effective. And it's a thought that when we take that time, that some of those letters and even notes that we write can be very meaningful to another person. It might just be something that we put in their lunch kit or something like that, but it means a lot when we're willing to do that. But of course, as with speaking, time and care must be taken to prevent miscommunication. And that's part of the challenge we have nowadays with texting, right? Is that sometimes we're just sending off a quick text. We're not even necessarily proofreading it before we do. And especially if we have autocorrect on, it can come out as this kind of garbled, embarrassing mess, right? And so it's the thing is that we want to take time to make sure we get our point across. That too often we think, oh, I have to answer back right away, but we don't necessarily have to. And we can embarrass ourselves quite a bit, especially if, and that's why we need to be careful, because sometimes we're doing an email and we're saying something we probably shouldn't, but we're thinking we're saying it to one person, but then instead of hitting reply, we hit reply all, and then we're in a big heap of trouble, right? And so that maybe helps us to realize, okay, if we can't say it in public, maybe I shouldn't say it in private either. But we want to be wise, we want to be careful. But it's the thing, too, is that when we think in terms of reading something, that both the written word and the spoken word of another should be valued, right? That if someone has taken the time to write something down for us, we should value that. But just as the same as we need to take time and care to listen and understand, we must also take time and care to read and comprehend. And so we want to understand what that person is saying, and it can be the thing where we write back and we ask questions to clarify what they've said is important. And that's kind of the thing that can happen with texting nowadays as well, because we're missing a lot of that nonverbal communication of tone of voice, body language, and sometimes you can kind of figure things out a bit. If everything's in capitals and you know, okay, this person is shouting at me, they're probably upset. But it's the thing is, a lot of times we can read something and maybe that person was writing it quickly, didn't really take time to think of it, and then we can react and start to get upset with them about what they wrote, and then they text back and say, no, that's not what I meant, I'm sorry, or the autocorrect didn't act, and that's not what I meant to get across. And so we take the time, we don't jump to conclusions, we calm down and say, okay, is this what's meant? And then we get that clarification that helps us to be able to move forward. So that's the thought in terms of the four basic things of communication. And so we draw to a close tonight. It's a thought that we spent plenty of years in school doing language and English, and so much of it, we're like, this is so boring, why am I ever going to use this? And so a lot of times in school, learning communication skills was not likely the priority for any of us that it should have been, right? We don't realize, yeah, that I'm going to need to be able to converse with someone. And that's the thing, is that really, in many ways, we've lost the art of the conversation. And you see that on social media, that most people aren't able to have a conversation. It's just basically where you're trying to shout down and insult the other person and get them to shut up and agree with you. And, of course, that never goes anywhere. And so we lack that art of the conversation. We are lacking in communication skills, and we realize we never really understood how valuable it was until we got to a point where we really did with what we needed to do. And so as we learn to value the relationships we have in life, we come to realize how important communication is in building and maintaining those relationships. And as we understand how important that is, that motivates us to develop the skills that we too long have neglected. And so that's kind of the thing. We realize, okay, maybe I need to take out my English book from long ago or get an idea of things so that we can understand it more completely. And so we can learn to be better communicators, and with God's help and example, we can use communication to bring healing to our homes. And so that's my hope for all of us, that we realize we sometimes we stink when it comes to communicating, and so we need to learn to get better at it and be willing to take time and have patience so that we can communicate more effectively and draw closer together as a result. So that's the lesson for tonight. I hope it's been a help. And as I've said before, if there's things specifically you might be struggling with, you want to talk through, or you just need somebody to pray with or anything like that, feel free to connect with me, either by Facebook or by phone. Number of course is 460-4688. And so I'll be glad to help you through this time. And it's kind of the thing, is that even though this is a difficult time, it's a time where we as families can be together, and we can kind of tackle some of these things head on and say, okay, now's the time to deal with this and learn to make progress in these areas. So I hope that this and the other lessons that we've given can give you some ideas to apply that can help. So let's pray, and then we'll be dismissed. Dearly Father, we just thank you for this time, and we just pray that you would help us to take the time to listen, to learn from one another so we might understand, and that you would draw us closer to one another. And Lord, we just pray you'd help us to listen to you, what you're trying to share with us, and we just thank you that you're one that we can pour out our souls to, and that you'll hear us, and you can help us, and then we just pray you help us to listen to you as you listen to us, and may we grow in our relationship with you as well. And Lord, just bless us all through this week, and just may your hand of protection be over us all. May we get through this time and all emerge safely, and may we be
emerge closer to you, closer to one another as a result. We ask this all in Jesus' name.